Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road and Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, we are going to be talking something I know a little about, but not a whole lot about. And that's why she is here. We are with Samika Randall-Lay. She is Winthrop's new head women's basketball coach. They call her Meek, Coach Meek. So, is that right?
That's right.
All right. So, as we always start off our programs with somebody who's a newbie,
okay,
and you're a newbie, tell us a little bit about yourself, Coach Meek.
Okay, well, I'm going to get right to the good part. I played at the great, what I call one of the great institutions of college women's basketball at the University of Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Played for one of the greatest coaches in the world, Pat Summitt. Had a phenomenal career. Went 39-0 my freshman year at UT. And so that's where the Meek come in, because there was two other young ladies who had a Meek in their name. Shamiqua Hostclaw, Tamika Ketchens, and then myself, Samika Randall. So you had to figure out a way to figure out which Meek it was out there on the floor. So I got the M-E-E-K, and that's how I just rolled with Coach Meek as my coaching name. From Tennessee, I went on and played professionally in the WNBA, played five seasons in the WNBA, also offsetting it with playing overseas. So I've lived in Bratislava, Slovakia. I played in Beijing, China. I lived in Israel. And then my last little stop was in Greece.
Jeez.
And so from hanging up my shoes and playing basketball, I got into coaching. My first coaching job was at Cleveland State. From there, I went from Cleveland State to Michigan State, ended up in the national championship game at Michigan State. From Michigan State, went over to West Virginia. And then at West Virginia, I got the call to become a head coach my first time at Ohio University. Then I went and didn't do as well as I wanted to at 28 coaching. I went over to Alabama A&M as a head coach. Then I kind of went back as an assistant, and had stops at Wright State, Cincinnati, and now I'm here at Winthrop University.
My God in heaven.
That's a lot right there.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Whew. Is that fairly typical for a coach, I mean, to be moving as much as you have moved?
You know, in this new day and age, that's what they do. Unlike at UT, I had coaches that were literally there 20-plus seasons. Just opportunities happen for people, and we kind of move along. That's the new thing now.
Jeez.
I like to get my feet stabled somewhere to where I'm not constantly moving around. So I'm all locked in here at Winthrop and trying to make this program get it back to where it once was back in 2014.
All right. So you've been here at Winthrop for a couple of years now.
Correct.
All right. You came here in your first position as a
associate head coach.
Associate head coach. Then you went to what?
Interim head coach.
Interim head coach.
During COVID. So I had showed great poise and patience, and they said, you know what, we're going to give you the keys, and now you can become the head coach here.
Oh, my gosh. So, all right, so this is your first year as head coach here at Winthrop University. And most coaches, I mean, last year was not a good year.
No.
1-6, lost 18. Fortunately, the season was shortened somewhat because of all these COVID issues. But most head coaches during the off season do a lot of recruiting. They're out there in a car running around seeing people. You weren't able to do a lot of that, were you?
Didn't get that luxury of, like, hitting the pavement and assessing athletes. So we had to go about it, I would say, in an unconventional way in terms of doing a whole lot of utilizing your contacts. and then watching a ton of film on players and trying to sift through who can fit and who will want to come here to Winthrop University in the state that we're in right now.
All right, let's take this one at a time. You talk about the off-season recruiting and it being a challenge. You can't go out physically to see them because of all the COVID issues. So you rely upon, what, the tapes that they send you? You know, here I am, I'm a great player, I'd like to play for you, or, I mean, how do you get all this stuff?
Well, for me, I kind of went about this a little different. I have friends that I've played with in the past, and so we kind of opened a door that's a little different. We got a ton of international players that will be joining us this up-and-coming season. So my contacts from playing professionally helped me out build this team this upcoming season. So we have two young ladies coming from Denmark. We have a young lady coming from Portugal, France, and yeah, we started with, there's four international kids, and then we're able to, because of when I recruited in the past, I had contacts with some coaches that I've assessed those players a while ago. So I brought one kid from Ohio, and then the other kid is from Charlotte area.
From Charlotte.
Yep.
All right. So your team normally has how many players?
15.
15.
We usually carry 15 on a roster.
All right. Have you got all 15?
Not yet.
Not yet.
We getting close.
How close is close?
We're off by one.
Off by one?
Yeah.
All right.
We still have six players returning from this past season, okay. So they're still here.
So how challenging is it to recruit for a program that's been through the hardships that you all have been through, last season being 6-18 and, you know, you being an interim head coach and now you're a head coach? I mean, what do you have to dance around that, or you just tell them what it is?
I mean, I'm really straightforward and letting them know, and I believe even when they gave me the interim head coaching job that I was going to be the head coach here. And it's kind of interesting that I was able to get players to commit being an interim head coach, and I'm hopeful that these student athletes work out and help us, you know, improve where we're at right now. And like we mentioned before we got on air, there's only one way to go, and that's going up.
That's right. I use the analogy of what my father said to me after my first set of college board exams, quote, son, you got nowhere to go but up.
Yeah.
And that's very apropos with what you're talking about. These players, the international players, mm-hmm. Was it a hard sell to get them to come over, or were they just interested in getting to America and being in an American university?
I mean, I think it was a definitely a hard sell in them understanding where they're going to be at, the type of program they're going to be trying to help change, and how they're going to play an intricate part in it. So I think they were excited about getting that opportunity. I think one of the difference between, say, the U.S. players and international, it's a dream to come over here and do something special. And we need players in the building that it's a dream to play basketball. It's a dream to be successful. It's a dream to take a program to another level. So that kind of went into selling them. And then the relationship that we were able to build over the phone over a course of time, they just bought into me, myself, and then the rest of my staff.
Well, I think your pedigree with all of your background, I mean, that's
that
quite
helped.
It sure did. So if I was a, and I'm not, but if I was a decent basketball player and I knew that I had certain skills, I'm not so sure I wouldn't be quizzing the coach in terms of what is it that you're going to bring to the table that's going to cause this team to go from the bottom of the heap up to hopefully the top of the heap. What do you tell them?
Well, I look at how they approach the situation, and you saw it a lot of time in their film how hard they play. And if we can get our student athletes just playing hard and leaving everything out on the court, we're going to move this program in the right direction. Now, don't get me wrong, they got to have the right skill set and all that stuff. That helps tremendously. But their drive is what's going to help move this program in the right direction.
So it's all about attitude.
Yep.
If they know coming in that they're associating with a team that has not had a good record, and they can realize this is an opportunity for us to really build something. I mean, they could leave after 3 or 4 years of playing and say, look what we did. We took this thing from the bottom of the heap to the top of the heap.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at it also, they understand that they're here to change culture.
All right. So, again, this is something I know nothing about. You have scholarships that you can offer?
Correct.
How many scholarships does women basketball?
Again, in Division I, 15 scholarships.
15. So you have, these are 15 full scholarships?
Correct.
So all these players are going to be getting a full scholarship?
Correct.
All right, which is substantial.
That is awesome.
Now, with all that being said, you're very familiar with, what was it, this week or last week's Supreme Court ruling that says yes?
To the name, like, image?
Yeah.
That will create a ton of problems, but I think it's good for the student athletes. I mean, I go back to my time playing and how much schools probably made off of us, especially when we made that 39-0 run, and we weren't able to receive anything. I mean, heck, we didn't even have the cost of attendance. And I don't know if you're fully aware of that. It's offered probably mainly in a lot of men and women's basketball, say maybe at the smaller schools, but like when you're at the Power Fives, it kind of goes out throughout a little more teams. Like maybe volleyball may get it, but basically that cost of attendance is just some additional free money for athletes to cover for clothing or pay their cell phone bill, but they get that as well. We didn't get that. I mean, the only thing we had was our Pell Grant based on our parents' financial situation.
So at this level of basketball, with what the Supreme Court has said is permissible and the NCAA has passed grace on, will it really mean much more than just the tuition that the ladies are going to be getting, or the men, depending on which team?
So you mean?
I mean, how do you say this? There's going to be some extra compensation given to these students.
Correct.
Is that at all levels of basketball, or just where there's enough dollars to allow that? I mean, if you go to UT, or you go to Clemson, or you go to, you know, UConn, you know, they've got a lot of sponsorships, they got a lot of dollars coming in, and they can do that.
Correct.
But when you come down to this level, you don't have that available to you.
Right. Well, they make the adjustments. So each institution has a, like, I'm just speaking again of cost of attendance, because that name, image, likeness, it gets a little tricky in terms of how they're going to be able to manage that. I think that's why it's going through the court systems, and it's different in each state. But for the cost of attendance at our level, it's not going to be comparable to what's at the Power Five.
Okay.
But at least it's still, I'm going to say this real loose, free money for the athletes. And I think sometimes athletes, that's how they make their decisions today, who's giving the most financial.
So that was part of your conversations with these athletes. I'm sure they were asking about this.
Yeah, I mean, and they were asking us. So I'm just thankful that here at Winthrop, where we were able to provide that.
Good. All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. When we come back, we're going to figure out what the strategy is with Coach Meek about winning. That's the whole thing. As we continue our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Of course, fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 6 days a week here at Substation 2. They're closed on Sundays. There's a magical formula that most people know about. Those who don't are going to hear about it right now. It's in the white letters, and we're all going to say it together, including the director of operations, who happens to be here with us today. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 4106.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning, and also give us time to prepare for the week to come. But we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause. But remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. With us today is the brand spanking new head women's basketball coach for Winthrop University, Samika Randall-Lay, known as Coach Meek. And she explained earlier why it's Coach Meek, because she played at UT when they went, what was it, 30-0, did you say?
39-0.
39-0.
Yep. In 4 years, 139 wins and 9 losses.
My God. Wow. Did they erect a statue of your team? I mean, yes.
You know, there's, you know, Coach won 8 national championships,
oh,
so
yeah.
It's, you know, winning was part of the culture there.
Well, as again, I'm sure that's a big calling card for you in terms of attracting players to this program, which is, rebuilding is an understatement. I mean, you're basically starting all over again.
Correct.
All right. So, take me through this. These players will arrive. When can you start, you know, coaching them?
July 11th, we'll have a crop of student-athletes start to make their way in here, and we're starting right up on the 12th. And then we'll have another group coming in, hopefully around the 16th, and then we'll start up there too as well.
So you are allowed, and I don't understand all these rules, but you are allowed to start coaching them basically from day one?
We get 6 weeks of preseason early training where we're allowed to bring our student-athletes back in. Our men got some players in right now. So, yeah, it's summer. I feel like basketball now is year-round for the most part.
Yeah. So are you limited as to how many hours a day that you can do this?
Correct. During this time, you're only allowed 8 hours a week. 4 hours is for strength and conditioning, and the other 4 is for basketball activity.
All right. So you would expect, would you not – would you expect that your players would be arriving in shape?
That's the goal. We tried to send a message real loud and clear with our returners, making sure they understand the importance of coming back in shape. And that started off with a mile. Hopefully we got those times down from the time we left here back in April. And then we'll pick it back up and hit it really hard these next 6 weeks.
Well, yeah, anybody knows anything about basketball, a lot of it has to do with running. You're running all the time.
And so you mentioned off air how we didn't jump. I don't think we were in the best shape that we needed to be based on COVID, not blaming any of our players or anything. It was just hard trying to manage and navigate through that. But it's going to be really, really important. You talk about the a recipe to winning, you got to be in shape to play the game.
All right.
Especially at the level I want you to play at.
So when you say the times are getting better on their mile, what do you expect a player who's going to be showing up on July the 11th?
You know, in a perfect world, because that's what you're asking me now, In a perfect world, I expect my guards to be at a 6 minute and 30 second mile run, and hopefully our posts, because we don't have like big 6'4", 6'5 post players, and we're about 6'1 post players here, they should be anywhere about 6'50. I want us to be fast out there.
All right. So that's the goal, to get them to that speed.
Right.
All right. And you accomplish that by 4 hours in the strength and conditioning during the course of each of the weeks for 6 weeks, right?
Correct.
All right. So the ladies will be doing everything that they normally do. They'll be running on treadmills. They'll be pushing iron. They'll be doing the jumping things that they do.
Hey, why not go outside? Let's take it old school here now.
Yeah, all right.
Let's
when
get out
nice
there. What is nice and warm around this time? Where the heat, you can actually feel it hit your, the back of your neck.
Oh, you got to put them through it.
Oh, man. Let's wake them up. You're asking me to put a product out there now. I want you to say, you know what?
Good for you.
You know, there might be areas that we might not be great at, but that conditioning,
right,
and how hard and how tough they are, that grit, you're going to see that.
Well, I will tell you this, because if you watch women's basketball at the UT level, oh, my gosh. And I've been to a couple of the USC women's games. I mean, they are as tough as any men's basketball I've ever seen. I mean, it is, whoo, look out. Katie, bar the doors, because we're coming after you. That's the kind of team you
want
to create.
That's what I want. That's what we're trying to create here. We're all about grit, relentless, energy, attitude, and toughness. Let's get it.
All right, so we know what the strength and – you have a strength and conditioning coach?
Correct.
Who's that?
That's Ben Abbott.
Ben Abbott.
Yep.
Is he for both the men and the women?
No, he's actually – we're kind of in a bit of transition right here. We lost our strength and conditioning coach, but he's typically has baseball and a few other sports. So now he's working – excuse me, volleyball. He's now will be working with us.
Okay. So you have different strength and conditioning coaches for women and for men?
Correct.
All right. But is the routine any different? I mean, you're going to train a woman just the way you're going to train a man, aren't you?
Well, you got to think about this. There's other sports, and so he can't just have one.
Yeah, well, forget that. I'm just talking about if you had the men's basketball coach and the women's basketball coach.
Oh, it's the same?
Exactly the same.
It's the same.
Exactly.
One jump. Slide, move your feet, yeah.
Hit that floor.
Explosive.
Scramble for that ball.
Correct. No different.
No different. So now when you get them, because you're going to have them for 4 hours a week.
Correct.
Is that enough?
I mean, it's never enough. I mean, there's so many things that you can work on, and there's a lot of detailed things that you can clean up and make sure they feel comfortable. But we're going to break it down this off season and spend a lot of time on our man-to-man defense, so that way we know we're fundamentally sound in that as we move forward into when we come back in for when the fall starts.
Shoot.
That's the goal, and get lots of shots up.
Lots of shots. So after 6 weeks of this 4-4, what are you able to do? Are you able to go as much as you can work in?
Well, we're still technically, even after this 6 weeks, we're still going to, when we come back for school, we're still in our same 8 hours. But on September 29th, that's when we start 20 hours a week. That's when we can start.
September 29th, 20 hours.
Turning it up.
But, you know, the other part of this, and I've always been amazed at how student-athletes are able to do so well with their academics. I mean, Winthrop always emphasizes student-athletes. And when you see the grade point averages of all these team members, it really, to me, is startling how well they do. How do they work all that in?
It's called time management. You got to be really good with it, and if you're not – that's our job, my assistant coaches and Connor over here, job to make sure that they are on top of everything. But give big shout out to our academic advisor in the program, who keeps us informed, and we meet biweekly just to discuss each student athletes where they at in the classroom. And we've done an exceptional job. Again, another shout out to our student athletes with a 3.3 GPA that we finished up with. So
amazing.
Phenomenal. So I'm really proud. I have one student who fall semester had a 4.0, and she was kind of upset she got her first B this past semester. I wish I got one B before.
I hate people like that. They're so smart. I don't like them at all. So how do you juggle the academics with the basketball program? I mean, do they have special classes that they get to go to in order that they can get out on the court or travel with? No,
they are just like a regular student here at Winthrop. We do have our block time that we have our practice, and then they schedule their classes around. Now, we, as you get into your junior and senior year, we start to run into some situations where they have to have that class, so that means they have to miss practice, but it's still their job and their responsibility to make up for whatever they miss, whether it's on the basketball court or in the weight room. They find a way to fit it in. So it's a tough job, and I know student athletes get a lot of flack because everyone thinks they get a lot, but they have to be on point with their management skills.
Boy, oh boy. So I would imagine you get a lot of cooperation from the professors. I mean, if somebody has missed a class.
Well, we go through our academic advisor for them to work with it. We make sure we stay in our lane over here on the athletic side so we don't cause any situations over there where they be a little uneasy from us. So we do get support.
But there are standards. In other words, if a student falls below a certain grade point average, does that jeopardize their ability to stay on the team?
Yes, they could potentially be ineligible, and we don't want that to happen with our student athletes. That's why we try to do our best job to monitor them. And, again, give credit to the athletes. They do a great job of handling their business and then just letting us know if they're struggling with a class so we can help get them a tutor.
But don't you have mandatory study halls or something for your
especially for our incoming freshmen? But for the most part, knock on wood here, most of our athletes have always tested out a study hall, and because they know how to manage their time and their studies.
So they haven't got any time for anything except going to school,
sleep,
and playing basketball.
Basketball.
Forget about guys.
Studying basketball.
Forget about dating.
They have to figure that out.
Forget parties.
Listen, I'm no fool now. They figure out how to get that stuff in.
As she smiles from ear to ear, because she used to do it.
Hey, I have a few stories myself,
so I know. All right, so the first wave of players is going to be here in a couple of weeks.
That is correct.
Tomorrow's the 1st of July.
I know. Time is flying.
Woo. Are you allowed to have, what would I call it, kind of a meet and greet when this first group comes the 11th? You take them out to dinner somewhere or sit around the cafeteria or whatever?
Well, we got it planned already. When everybody gets in here, I'm going to cook for them.
Oh, my goodness.
And we have them out at the house, and we have a little fun together. That was something we weren't able to do this past season, and I think that's where we really get an opportunity to build our relationships. So I'm going to cook more often for these guys.
Everybody on the team has to have been vaccinated?
For the most part, we got about 85% of our players vaccinated to them coming here.
So it's not a requirement?
It's not a requirement.
So what do you do? Are you going to keep testing the players to make sure?
That probably will be the policy. They haven't said it yet, but I'm assuming that could possibly be the policy moving forward for those that didn't get vaccinated.
Boy, that would be absolutely horrible to get a great player.
So hopefully that encourages them to
get the shot. Get
right.
The shot. Come on. All right. Well, Coach Meek, half hour is going right by.
Man.
You've done great.
I'm ready.
Can we come back and do this again?
Absolutely.
Huh? I like this lady. She's a fireball. I don't know about you, Connor, but Coach Meek, she's all right. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, Connor, this is your chance to redeem yourself because you just were miserable first time around. Fresh subs and salads. Look, even the public information officer over here for the York County Sheriff's Office knows this. All right, you ready? Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
That's how we like to hear it. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.